open the doors. To do that, they depressurized the vehicle. White went out for a spacewalk for 20 minutes and came back in. Closed the door, repressurized it, and everything was fine. But to do that, McDivitt had to be in a spacesuit, you know, because they didn't have an airlock. Well, the Russians went one step further than that. They wanted an airlock, and they did it before us, but they had this inflatable thing. It was an inflatable airlock. They filled it up with oxygen, and it inflated, and it had a door on it. So what happened was the door was closed. They pressurized this inflatable airlock. So they were able to open the door from Vostok. And Leonov, I forget his partner's name, he you know, he's in his regular space suit. He's in regular atmosphere. And Leonov is in, you know, 5 pounds pressure, PSI. Goes into the airlock. They close the door behind him. He opens up the other door to the airlock and floats outside for only about 12 minutes or so. And he didn't realize how, you know, that his suit was going to blow up really like a balloon. I mean, you know how stiff a football gets when you put air in it. It's that type of thing. And he couldn't bend. He couldn't even bend his arms down to push the camera. He had a camera on his chest that he was going to take pictures of the Vostok and the airlock. Well, that never happened. So he eventually tries to get back in, and he almost didn't make it. He's trying to get in. He's supposed to come in feet first, and then close the door behind him, and then eventually, you know, the other guy will open the door and let him in. He couldn't get in feet first, so he was, you know, getting all stressed out. He only had a certain amount of oxygen. It's not like today where they go out for 7 hours. I think he had an hour or so. He's very stressed. He went in head first. Now that he's in head first, he's trying to turn around in this 1 meter diameter thing with the spacesuit that's inflated to the point where he couldn't bend or turn around. So he decided to let a lot of air out of his spacesuit to try to depressurize himself, which almost killed him. But, you know, he did enough where he could still breathe. And he was able to twist around, close the door on the outside, and eventually they opened the other door, and he was able to get in. And, you know, when he got back to Russia, you know, Russia said, oh, yeah, everything went fine. And, you know, they were lying like a rug. As the years went by, he told everybody that, you know, he almost died after he hit a... He had a pill in a spacesuit that would kill him if he couldn't get back in. That was his plan, and he thought he might get to that point, but it didn't happen. And he became one of the most famous cosmonauts, and, you know, outside of Gagarin, the first guy that went up. So yeah, then on the way back, you know, they had a system where these retro rockets would fail, and he had a backup retro rocket to try to get them back to Earth. And then that thing lit off. But when it lit off, they couldn't get back in their seats properly. And they said they threw the weight off and you know, threw everything off when it started tumbling. And instead of landing where they were supposed to land, you know, come down near Russia, near Kazakhstan, they wound up hundreds of miles outside of where they were supposed to land in the Ural Mountains. Ural Mountains, you know, it's all trees and everything. I mean, millions of trees. Like landing in a forest, you know. They came crashing down through the trees and snow all over the place. Nothing but snow, you know, like feet of snow everywhere. And then to get out of the spacecraft as they landed, now the Russians didn't know where they were yet. They had an idea where they were. The tracking antenna broke off. Crash through the trees. They wanted to get out of the thing, so they hit a door and they have explosive bolts, so the door breaks loose and they get out. It turns out it's freezing like 20 degrees or something. snow all over. And they realized that, you know, they're going to be there a while. Eventually the Russians found them, you know, with the helicopters and everything, but there's nowhere to land. I mean, they were in nothing but, you know, mile-high trees everywhere. So the Russians had to, like, fly, like, you know, many miles away to land. And eventually they came to get them on skis. So, you know, it was snowing out. So these people are stuck in, you know, after doing a successful spacewalk, stuck in a Ural Mountain. Then they realized that, you know, they know the area. You know, they're from that area. And they heard timberwolves out there. So timberwolves are trying to get them. These are massive big wolves. You know, they're gray wolves that you don't want to fool with. So they get back into the spacecraft. They try to keep the door closed. They don't want any animals to come and get them. They try to hold the door closed. The heater on in the spacecraft broke. That stopped working. Yet the fans kept working. We kept blowing air around. They didn't want to shut the power down. Well, make a long story short, they finally get to them, and they actually had to build a temporary log cabin out in the woods somewhere, and they all stayed in that overnight. And apparently they all skied, including that cosmonaut. They skied back to wherever they had to get to. They didn't ski back to Moscow. And Moscow was like 1,000 miles away, but they skied back to the helicopters and eventually got out of that mess. But it sounds like a story that you could, you know, put in the movies. And I don't think that's ever been done. Let me drop it for any comments, questions. This is WS2N.
WS2N, KD2FRU. Very interesting details that you're presenting here. My recollection is that the entire Gemini mission and the various Gemini capsules that went up were a very successful leap towards our ability to get toward the moon. Now, when you're talking about what's going on with the cosmonauts at the time, this is incredibly interesting as to what we did were not being told, or the way the map was divided, the world map was divided here, that we were learning in the U.S. at the time. But really, Paul, this is great that you're telling us this.
Okay, George, I doubled with you in a little bit in the beginning. But, okay, yeah, there's a lot of stories out there. But I know we spent a lot of time on current events with space, but, you know, it's good to go back once in a while. The only reason I did is this fellow died, and he was one of the good guys, George.
It's just so amazing how the Gemini mission was an incredible leap for us. Landing in the ocean in the Pacific the way we were, and then landing in trees, incredible.
Yeah, well, they got a lot better at it. You know, when they come down now in Kazakhstan, you know, NASA always puts it on because, you always have an American on board. And they land in, you know, probably within a couple of miles of where they're supposed to. So they certainly got better at it. Let me turn it back to Dick anyway. Like I say, always say every week now, go Limehawk, go Technic. K2RIW, this is WS2N. Uh-oh. I don't hear Dick. Hello, Roy. Are you still? I know Roy's with us. Okay. AC2GS. By the way, I put one picture of the EVA by Christina Cook and Andrew Morgan on Roy's website. You know, give you a rough idea of what they're looking at. These big batteries down by the feet of one of the astronauts. And it's amazing what they do up there. Over to you, Roy.
Hey, very good, Paul. Yeah, I'm always standing by here, fiddling with computers and trying to figure out. I sent you and Dick a email with a Chinese product. Of course, it has to be Chinese. That's a rubber ducky that has an LED that lights up when you transmit. So that'll be amusing to look at. So I just want to remind people once again, take this as an opportunity to remind them that if they have any email, any questions for the mailbag for Dick, any questions for Paul, any questions for myself, any topics, any suggestions, any puzzlers, what have you, email address is, as always, mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. And the link page with the links of stories and images that Paul presents to me can be found at roy.ac2gs.com. And once again, I want to thank everyone for participating and even for listening, and thank Paul and Dick for the opportunity. Let me see if Dick has back to the microphone.
That's tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
I will catch him later. And okay, so tomorrow's a holiday, but there'll be, I know there's going to be a club net or a club info net tomorrow, and that's always good. And that's always followed by Swap and Shop. I know George is doing that lately. And that's always, I listen to that. That always comes on right afterwards. So always check into, try to check into the info net. And that's it. We'll be back next week. 73 Roy, 73 everybody. WS2N, we'll be clear.
73 Paul, 73 Dick, 73 to everyone out there. Have a great week. Enjoy Sukkot if you enjoy Sukkot. And enjoy the week nevertheless. This is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra, and I will be going clear now.
Me too. Bye-bye, you all. See you next week.
K2RIW, KD20GB.
Craig, we got to talk about the light. The light first.
And what might that be, George?
The flashing light.
Okay, now you're making me giggle. But all seriousness, I do want to say I'm really happy. I actually got to participate for the very first time on the TechNet. I'm glad my question worked out, and I'm more than welcome to join again if I could come up with any comments or questions. That's all I wanted to say. So, I'm out of here. KD20GB will be clear. Good night, George.
At 73, the repeater's shutting down. I'll talk to you about the flashing light tomorrow. KD2FIU, clear.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. That's tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. Good morning, the time is 5 o'clock a.m. This is the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. That's tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.